This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Diana Nyad, and it's about her epic swim from Cuba to Florida. Her book tells the whole story in a very intimate and inspirational way. It's called Find a Way. Of course, you're about more than swimming, and your latest is Everwalk. Tell us about Everwalk.
Well, you know, when Bonnie, my head handler, my best friend, and I got done with Cuba, it was very much a personal, kind of a holy grail kind of a enterprise. And I started thinking, we've been in shape. Bonnie and I have been in shape since we've been 5 years old. You know, every day of our lives, we value feeling well and being in the great outdoors. And like, if you called me tomorrow and said, hey, I'm going down to hike Machu Picchu tomorrow. You want to go? I'm ready. I'm ready to go. So we'd have thought, what can we do for the masses? I am a swimmer. I wish I could, you know, bring millions to swimming. But the truth is, walking is for the masses. You know, the wave of walking has already started. People are walking, but we are going to turn walking into a tsunami. So we started something called Everwalk. We just walked from LA to San Diego. We are going to come up and walk from Portland to Seattle. We're going to walk beautiful corridors all around America. And more than that, at everwalk.com, we're going to be the hub of worldwide walking. You're about to go on vacation in Ireland. You come to us and we'll tell you where you can do some great walking over there. We're going to form a nation. We have formed a nation, Everwalk Nation. We're going to get millions of Americans to pledge and to commit to walking 3 days a week. They say sitting is the new smoking. We're a sedentary society, and Bonnie and I at Everwalk are going to reverse that trend over the next 5 years. We're going to become a nation of rabid walkers. That's what we're doing now.
Well, that's good. And you not only is it good for your health, but it connects you with the land, and you experience things just like swimming under the stars. You experience things you wouldn't experience other ways, and that's a good thing also.
You know, that's the truth. I've been living in L.A. for a while, and I think I'm observant. I ride my bike around. But since I've been a walker, I am seeing things, little lending libraries up in trees that you go by. I mean, you know, just observing, as Thoreau said. It's why he took walks, you know?
You got a tattoo when you were done with your swim. Tell us about your tattoo.
You know, I'm not that immersed in the Japanese culture. I grew up with a French and a Greek culture, et cetera. But there was a guy on our swim who spent a lot of time in Japan. He's married to a Japanese. And when he saw Bonnie and I, he's observed a lot of swimmers around the world. He said he's never seen two people who were so keyed in, who had such courage together, and who communicated in such a sublime way. And he said in Japanese, they call that Ishin Denshin. Ishin Denshin. I had never heard that word. I know no Japanese whatsoever, but it means one heart, one mind. It means you are absolutely on the same level of ethics, of desire, of dreaming, of philosophy, of how to go about it, and you've got the same level of bravery. And sometimes I would be at the end. I didn't have a drop left, and Bonnie would just look at me. She didn't say, you know, hey, come on, you can do it. She would just look at me, and I'd look into those eyes, and I knew there was another drop of courage to summon. So we went and got tattoos. And the funny thing about it was that, you know, here I am, this, you know, supposedly don't feel any pain, can walk through fire. I cried through the entire etching of that tattoo, bit a towel, and the guy kept saying to me, I thought you were the one that swam through the deadly jellyfish. You can't be in pain. I said, I had a resolve set for that. I didn't come in here with the right resolve. I'm in pain. Hurry it up. So
one heart, one mind. Esther in Dallas is on the phone. Esther, thanks for your call.
What an incredible interview. And Diana, what an inspiration. I can't wait to read the book. It sounds fascinating.
Thank you. So you're down in Dallas. What do you do down there?
Well, I have climbed a few 14ers in Colorado myself, and I'm a bicyclist and an athlete, but that's not my profession. But you inspire me to continue doing more. I'll be 70 next year, so thank you for your inspiration.
Well, you sound like a fit, vital 70. I mean, we are redefining these ages, aren't we? I know many people in their 80s who can do anything in this world they want to do. I just think that we've been limited. We've had definitions and limitations put upon us. You know, at 67, I don't kid myself, I'm 67. I'm not 27. I'm not 47. I'm 67. But who's going to tell me that I'm starting to feel aches and pains, or I'm, you know, or I can't recuperate from a tough workout? I'll be the judge of that, and I'll admit to myself if I'm slowing down. But I say, it sounds to me that you and I are in the same boat. We're not slowing down yet, are we?
No. And my question is, how did you maintain, did you have sponsorships? I mean, for that huge crew and all the logistics and everything over the years, were you able to get sponsors or work to support that? How did that all come together?
You know, sponsorship always works by media. And I went out to do this on my own. I didn't care if my four best friends in the world were the only people who ever knew about it, the only people on the beach at the end. But once CNN was on the story, and then a lot of the foreign press and Washington Post and other people got on the story, then Procter & Gamble, for instance, they were interested. They do a lot of sort of women's heroic stories as part of their corporate culture. So they did come in as a big sponsor, and I appreciated it. A lot of people online, people would send me $5, you know, just to say they wanted to support it, that it meant a lot to them. They wanted to be part of it. And then, frankly, over the years, it started costing less and less because there would be boat guys who would say, you need my boat to go across? I won't charge you anything. I won't charge you the docking fees. I won't charge you the fuel, nothing. I want to be part of this history. So the more we went, people in Key West would give us places to live, places to eat. You know, we did at certain hard costs that we couldn't get around, and Procter & Gamble took care of those. But yeah, basically, the whole thing got paid for. Yeah.
Hey, Esther, thanks
That's
for
fantastic.
Your...
Fantastic.
Thank you. Esther, good luck to you. Keep climbing. Keep cycling.
Bye. Thanks for your call, Esther.
Happy travels.
Okay, you too.